MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Ronald Reagan. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the famous songwriter, dramatist, Mr. Howard Beach.
One of the best movies produced during World War II was Joe Smith American. The producer was Dolly Sherry, who is now Vice President in charge of production of MGM Pictures. It was one of his earlier efforts and stands up today as a distinguished yarn of patriotism and courage. Joe Smith American is as topical today, the days of the Cold War, as it once was when the bombs were being dropped.
Will you tell, Joe?
No,
you tell or you die. Okay, Joe, will you tell?
I don't want to die.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands.
In one moment now, Ronald Reagan in the dramatic and timely story, Joe Smith, American. Joe Smith American, starring Ronald Reagan. In 1942, the first year of World War II, America was taking a beating in both the Atlantic and the Pacific. Here at home, millions of men and women were working night and day, manufacturing the tools of war which later turned the tide of victory. One of these war workers was Joe Smith, and Joe was no different from millions of others, no different from you and me. Joe's job, sub-assembly foreman in an aircraft plant in Southern California.
Careful with that camshaft, Pete.
Okay, Joe.
If anything goes wrong with that cam, this plane might get up all night, but she'd never come down in one piece.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, Roy?
You trying to kill us, guys?
Yeah, Joe, I'm dragging the ground.
We got the best team in the plant, haven't we?
Yeah.
Sure we have, and they don't call us that because we sit around.
Yeah, Joe, but I'm both.
You and me both, Roy. How about it, Joe?
Okay, fellas. Take 5 minutes, let's all have a smoke.
That ring could begin to weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah, this heat in here doesn't help. Must be 120 in here.
It's tough, fellas. But it's a lot tougher for those Marines in Guadalcanal. An answer, Roy?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, Joe, what's the latest on the big spy hunt here in the plant?
Thanks, Roy. Why ask me, Pete?
You're the foreman. You ought to know.
Well, there are two reasons why I don't know.
Yeah? What are they?
In the first place, if there is a spy hunt here in the plant, it isn't any of my business.
Yeah?
And in the second place, I don't believe there is a spy hunt.
You're wrong about that, Joe.
Oh, yeah, Joe. They had a couple of the plant fellows up for questioning. There's two government guys here in the plant. They take the fellows into Mr. McKittrick's office and grill them.
That's McKittrick.
Why are you always running down Mr. McKittrick?
I don't like any part of McKittrick. Yes, sir. If McKittrick is against spies, I'm for it.
Hey, Joe Smith.
Gibbs, the security chief.
Yeah, Gibbs?
You're wanted in Mr. McKittrick's office.
Uh-oh. What did we tell you?
What does he want me for, Gibbs?
Well, that I wouldn't know. They just said, get Joe Smith in here in a hurry. That's all they said.
They? Who's they?
Well, they're, look, Joe, step over here a minute, will you?
Sure. Well?
So I couldn't tell Pete and Roy. It's orders, you see.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of government guys in there that want to talk to you.
Well, that's different. Hey, you guys.
Yeah, Joe?
It's almost quitting time. There's no overtime in the sheet, so if I'm not back when the whistle blows, you guys knock off. See you tomorrow.
Don't worry,
okay,
Joe.
Come on, Gibbs. Let's go.
Well, here he is, Mr. McKittrick.
Yes, very well, Gibbs. That's all.
Yes, sir.
You wanted to see me, Mr. McKittrick?
Yes, come in, Joe. Come in. Gentlemen, this is Joe Smith.
As you know, I'm in charge of all final assembly, and Joe is one of the best men that I have. He's a whiz on a blueprint. Nothing's too tricky for him.
Mr. McKittrick, if you don't mind, I think that...
Yes, Mr. McKittrick. This is like all the others. We'll do the talking in private.
Oh, yes, of course, gentlemen. Just trying to be helpful. Joe, several other men in the plant have already been in here.
So I heard, Mr. McKittrick. They were asked not to talk, but they talked.
Yes, Joe, yes. You see, this is something very secret. So secret that even I don't know about it. So you answer all the questions these gentlemen want to ask you. Well, gentlemen, I'll get out and give you the office.
Thanks. Joe, we're going to ask you some very personal questions, so you better look at our credentials. Hand them yours, too, Bud.
Yep. Here you are, Joe.
August Foster.
Usually known as Guts.
Frederick Dunhill, Counterintelligence Corps, U.S. Army. Don't believe I've heard of this Counterintelligence Corps.
Most people haven't. We work very closely with the local police and the FBI.
If you're ready to answer some questions now, Joe,
Sure, but first I'd like to make a phone call.
This is important government work, Joe, and we're in a hurry.
Yeah,
so
well, it won't take but a minute. Here's the number. You see, the work I do is restricted, and I just want to make sure.
You mean you don't trust these credentials? Well,
now, look, wait.
Federal Bureau of Investigation, Byers speaking.
My name is Joe Smith. I work here at Atlas Aircraft.
Yes?
A couple of guys here asked me some questions. I want to check on them.
What do you mean,
Judge?
Yes, Mr. Smith. What are their names?
They say their names are Foster and Dunhill, but I just want to be sure that...
Well, the names are correct, Mr. Smith. To make sure, let me speak to Mr. Dunhill.
Sure. He's right here. Mr. Dunhill, Mr. Byers of the FBI wants to talk to you.
Pat Byers, eh? Sure, let me talk to him. Oh, Pat, this is Fred Dunhill.
Hi, Fred. Sounds like your Mr. Joe Smith is a real cagey type, huh?
I'll say.
Sounds like the type you're looking for. Well, put him back on.
Sure, Pat. Want you again, Joe.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Byers. Joe Smith again.
Foster and Dunhill are okay, Mr. Smith. They're working with us up.
Oh, well, gee, I'm sorry I troubled you, Mr. Byers. But...
You did exactly the right thing. Glad you called.
Well, thank you. I mean, well, thank you. Goodbye. Yeah, I'm sorry, gentlemen.
I'll tell you what Byers probably told you, Joe. In wartime, when a person talks, you ought to be darn sure who he's talking to. Now, you ready to answer some questions?
Sure. The FBI says it's okay. I'll tell you anything I can.
You go ahead, Fred.
Okay, Gus. Where were you born, Joe?
Fairworth, Wisconsin, November 20th, 1912.
Soon be 30, huh?
That's right.
Folks still living?
No, they're not.
Where were they born?
My mother is somewhere in Norway.
Your father?
Well, Dad came over here from Austria, a little town named Munden or something like that.
Name always Smith?
As far as I know. Well, it might have been Schmidt or Schmutz in the old country. We had a lot of names like that around Fairworth.
Mm-hmm. Any folks still living back there?
No.
Married, Joe?
10 years next month.
How long have you been here at Atlas?
10 years next month. One time I sort of wanted to travel, go to China.
Yeah, I know. And then you met a girl. Any children?
One boy. He'll be 9 on Christmas Day. We named him Johnny after my wife's old man, but he's exactly like me. Sometimes Mary says two of us just alike is just too much. We're sort of stubborn.
Do you own your own home or do you rent?
I own it. Well, that is, I own it with the FHA. I'm paying $28.83 a month.
I see. Go to church?
No. We get a lot of overtime. I sleep on Sunday. But my kid goes to Sunday school.
Believe in God?
Sure I believe in God.
So do I. Saving any money?
Well, not as much as I'd like to. I'm trying.
How much have you got in the bank?
Hey, that's sort of personal, isn't it? I mean, well, that's something that only a guy and his wife know.
Gosh, you tell him.
Sure, Joe. Only a guy and his wife know that. And about 20 people in his bank and several hundred in the FHA and several thousand in the Treasury Department.
Well, you really want to know...
I'll skip it. We'll get it if we want it. Well, Joe, that's all.
You mean, that's all?
That's it.
Well, I haven't told you anything.
You told us what we asked you. If we want to know more, we'll find out.
I see. Well, a whistle just blew.
Oh,
so...
Joe, one more thing.
Yes, Mr. Daniel?
We may want to see you again in a week or so.
Sure, anytime.
We'll get in touch with you if we do want to see you.
Sure, anytime. Mind giving me a tip-off on what this is about?
No tip-off, Joe. Also, we'd like to ask you not even to mention that you talked to us. Would you give us your word on that?
Sure, why not? Sure, I give you my word. Promise. Well, so long.
So long, Joe. Our regards to Mary and Johnny.
Mary? Oh, Mary, I'm home.
You're the guy next, Joe.
Here you are. Hey, what's that smell so good?
Well, you'll never find out if you start talking about food even before I get a kiss.
Oh, that. There. Smells like meatloaf.
It is meatloaf. Made special for you.
Oh, what are we waiting for? I'm starved.
I'll just be patient till I set the dinette table.
A dinette table? I buy you a brand new suit of dining room furniture, and there it sits. 3 months, and we've never used it.
Oh, I told you I didn't want it to get scratched. We'll wait for a very special occasion.
Sure, but what special occasion?
I don't know. The first special occasion that comes up.
Okay, the dinette table. Where's Johnny?
In his room, where I sent him. You've got to talk to him, Joe.
More window panes?
No, his weekly allowance. This morning I gave him the 25 cents, and when he came home, not a penny of it.
Well, what'd he do with it?
Well, that's what I want you to find out. You know how stubborn he is, exactly like you. Now hurry so we can eat.
Hey, why do I always have to play the heavy around here?
Joey!
All right. Now, look, kid. I've never let you down when you were in a jam, have I?
Of course not, Pop. You're swell.
And tell me what you did with the 2 bits, and I'll give you another quarter. And Johnny?
I can't, Pop. Really, I can't.
Why can't you?
I just told you. It's a secret.
Okay, so it's a secret. But we're pals, aren't we?
Sure.
Well?
I took a solemn oath not to tell you or Mommy. And I've got to keep that oath, just like Nathan Hale.
Wait a minute. Nathan who?
Pop, you mean you never heard of Nathan Hale?
Well, sure I've heard of him.
He was a spy for the Americans back in the Revolution, see?
Oh, you mean that Nathan Hale. Sure, I remember him. What'd he do?
Well, he took a solemn oath not to give away any of America's secrets, see? So when the Redcoats caught him, they said, Nathan Hale, tell us all you know. So Nathan Hale looked him right in the eye and said, I will not break my solemn oath.
Sure, now I remember. And he didn't, did he?
I'll say he didn't. So then the Redcoats put a rope around his neck and they said, Nathan Hale, you tell us all the American secrets you know or you will be hanged by the neck until dead. And so old Nathan Hale looked him right in the eye. And you know what he said, Pop?
Sure, I remember it now. Well, maybe not the exact words.
Old Nathan Hale looked him right in the eye and he said, I regret that I have but one life to lose to my country. That's exactly what he said. I'll bet you $1 million, $1 billion, that Nathan Hale was the bravest man in the world, huh, Pop?
I wouldn't be at all surprised, kid. But about your allowance, about that 2 bits you went out and spent the day in one hunt.
Pop.
Yeah?
Have you ever given your solemn oath not to tell anything?
Of course I haven't. That's kid stuff. That's... Wait a minute.
Huh? Have you, Pop, huh?
Yes, Johnny. Yes, I have. Happened to the plant just now before I came home.
And you wouldn't break that solemn oath either, would you, Pop?
Well, I don't think it was anything very important. I mean, the thing I promised not to talk about. I promised. No, I wouldn't.
Not even if somebody put a rope around your neck?
Nope. Not even if somebody put a rope around my neck.
Gee, Pop, I guess you're pretty brave, too. Maybe not quite as brave as old Nathan Hale, but...
Now, look, Johnny. Look.
Yes, Pop?
Solemn oath or no solemn oath. You've disobeyed twice. First in spending all your allowance at once without permission, and then in refusing to tell what you spent it for. You understand that?
Yes, Pop.
And you know you have to be punished, don't you?
Yes, Pop, at least I sort of expected to be.
And you still won't tell?
I couldn't break my solemn oath.
Okay, kid. I'm sorry. But you'll have to stay right here in your room. That means no playing with the kids after supper tonight. And it means no supper.
Pop, not that.
Yes, that.
But we're having mine and your favorites tonight. Meatloaf and for dessert, strawberry shortcake.
Holy smoke. Strawberry shortcake, too? Well, I didn't know we were having both. Nope, kid. I know it's tough, but it still goes. No play and no supper.
Okay, Pop. I sure hate to miss that strawberry shortcake.
Oh, look. Kid, I'll tell you what I'll do. But you'll have to promise to keep it strictly between us. Promise?
Sure, Pop, I promise.
Well, as soon as your mommy finishes the dishes and settles down in the living room to listen to the radio, I'll see if I can't sneak a piece of that strawberry cookie.
Gee, Pop, you're swell. You're as swell as Mommy, only Mommy didn't make me promise not to tell.
Promise not to tell what?
Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have said that.
You tell me what or no strawberry shortcake.
Well, Mommy didn't make me promise not to tell, so...
Yeah, so what?
Mommy said that as soon as you finished supper and went to the living room to read the paper, she'd bring me a meatloaf sandwich.
You look sort of worried, Joe. Anything wrong?
Yeah, nothing serious, I guess. A kid of mine.
Johnny? He's the swellest kid in the neighborhood. Everybody says so.
Yeah, he's okay. I'm not really worried about him, but it's his allowance. A week ago, Mary gave him his usual quarter, and that night he'd spent every penny of it. Yesterday, she gave him his allowance for this week, and bingo, same thing happened again.
What does he do with it?
It's the only thing that worries me, Pete. He won't tell me. I've tried every way I know, but he won't tell.
Well, you ought to be proud of him, Joe. That shows he takes after his old man, huh, Roy?
Now, what do you mean by that?
What does he mean by it? You remember a week ago when you got called into McKittrick's office?
Yes.
Me and Pete have been trying all week to get you to tell us what happened in there.
And all you do is clam up. Sure, Joe, the kid's just like his old man.
Hey, Joe, Joe Smith.
Well, it isn't it, Gibbs?
Speaking of McKittrick's office.
Yeah, Gibbs, what is it?
You're wanted by the big brass in a hurry.
McKittrick's office again, huh?
Not this time. Now, hold on to yourself, Joe, and get this. This time, you're wanted by Mr. Edgerton.
Okay.
Okay, he said. Just okay. You happen to know who Mr. Edgerton is?
Sure. I know who he is.
He's only the guy that happens to own Atlas Aircraft.
That's right. He also happens to be the guy that taught me how to read a blueprint. He hired me when I came to work here 10 years ago. And back in those days, he used to work right along with the rest of us.
Oh, smoke. You really do know him, huh?
Sure I know him, and I like him. He's only a guy like I am. The way you mentioned his name, you'd think I ought to take off my hat and make a low bow. Hey, wait a minute. Did he say what he wanted me for?
You know he wouldn't tell me that, Joe.
No, I guess he wouldn't. Well, let's go find out. Mr. Edgerton's a swell guy, and if there's anything I can do to help him, I'll be glad to do it.
Joe, how are you?
Can't complain, Mr. Edgerton. How's yourself?
Ulcers, Joe. You know, we thought we had troubles back in the old days when we were only broke and hungry. Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. Joe, I believe you know these gentlemen.
Yes, Mr. Foster.
How are you, Joe?
And Mr. Dunhill of the Counterintelligence Corps.
Well, we said we might get back in touch with you, Joe, so here we are. Suppose you start things off, Mr. Edgerton.
All right. Joe, I've got a blueprint here, and it's marked top secret. I'm the only man in this plant who's seen it. When I show it to you, that'll be two of us, and that'll be all.
If it's that secret, Mr. Edgerton, you sure you want me to see it?
Yes, Joe, I'm sure. I've known you for some time now. I know you can be trusted.
Well, thanks, but...
No, don't thank me. The government says you can be trusted, too.
Yes, Mr. Edgerton, I'm just like any other guy. You know me well enough to know that. Well, if there's something you and the government want me to do, let's get cracking.
All right. Now, Joe, take a look at this blueprint. See if you can get a rough idea of what it is.
I see. I'll hold it more here to the light.
There you are. As you can see, there's no label on it.
Yeah. Hey, the guy that dreamed this one up was real cute, wasn't he?
Yeah. Any idea what it is?
Some. It isn't like the one we're using now. Nothing at all like it, in fact. But offhand, I'd say it's a bomb site.
Correct. Joe, how long do you think it'll take you to memorize this blueprint?
You mean so I could do an assembly and installation without looking at it?
Right. This blueprint has got to be in your head, where nobody can sneak in and copy it.
Well, I'll give me a quiet place somewhere. I'd say 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, you'll get the quiet place. With an armed guard outside the door. Also, you get the job, Joe. And at more money.
Okay, Mr. Edgerton. I guess I'd better notify Mr. McKittrick.
I'll take care of that. Now, from now on, you report only to me. And before you get going, Foster and Dunhill here want to say something to you.
That's right, Joe. Congratulations on being picked over about 100 other guys.
Mind telling me why you selected me, Mr. Dunhill?
Well, for a number of reasons. One was that we asked you not to talk to anybody about our first interview. You didn't.
That's right. Didn't even talk to your wife about it.
You mean you talked to Mary?
No, Joe, but we checked your wife's friends and neighbors. Without their knowing it, of course.
Yeah, lots of times the wives themselves don't know how much they tell about their husbands. Your wife didn't even hint at anything.
No, I didn't tell her anything.
Now, when you begin this new job, it'll be even more important if you don't tell her about this.
Well, I've always talked to her about my work. That's going to be tough.
We know. Our wives don't know the kind of work we do.
Mine thinks I inspect canteens.
I'd trust Mary with my life.
We trust her, too, Joe. We investigated Mary, too. But if she drops a hint to a neighbor, even unconsciously, the neighbor might repeat it. We can investigate everybody.
I see. Hey, mind telling me why this is so super secret?
Well, Joe, now you have a right to know. Right now, the bomb site on that blueprint there happens to be the one secret weapon we've got that the Germans and the Japs haven't got. That bomb site may shorten the war. It may save hundreds and thousands of American lives.
Okay, Mr. Daniel. You don't have to tell me anymore.
Yes, Joe, I think I do.
Huh?
Your own protection is more I'd better tell you.
Okay, shoot.
If enemy agents find out that you're working on this bomb site, they'll try to get the secret away from you.
Okay, so let them try it.
No, Joe, let's not let them try it. Let's keep this so mum that they won't even find out you're working on it. If they do find out, they'll offer you money, women, anything. If that fails, they're the type that can get real dirty. So let's not let them try it. Okay, Joe, anything you want to say? Joe, do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I was just thinking about something that kid of mine said to me the other day. Something about a guy back in history named Hale. Just kid stuff.
Well, anything you want to say?
No. No, I guess I'm no good at speakers. Just take me to that quiet place where I can study this blueprint. And let's get cracking.
In one moment, we return to Ronald Reagan, starring in Joe Smith, American. MGM Theater of the Air, starring Ronald Reagan. Two weeks have passed since Joe Smith, American, played by Ronald Reagan, began work at Atlas Aircraft on the super-secret bomb site, one of America's great hopes in this bitter war year of 1942. Joe has told nobody about his new job, not even Mary. Like most wives, however, Mary knows something unusual is going on, although so far she has said nothing. Right now, Joe is taking his son Johnny to school, and Joe is worried about Johnny.
Look here, kid.
Yes, Pop?
Your mommy says you spent your allowance again yesterday, all in one lump. That's the fourth week in a row.
Gee, Pop, we talked about that last night.
I know, and I told you to sleep on it. Think it over. How about this morning, before we get to school? Do you like telling me now?
Pop, I can't. Honest. Just like old Nathan Hale when the redcoats put the rope around his neck. You wouldn't want me to break my solemn oath.
No, I guess not. But I would want to help you if you're in a jam.
But I'm not, honest.
Like your teacher at school?
Oh, sure. Miss Purvis is a doll. All the kids say so. Just, you know, but a doll.
Imagine the fourth grade's a lot harder than the third, isn't it?
Oh, say. You ought to see some of them words they give us to spell.
Those words.
Those words. And that arithmetic, fraction, fooey.
Your grade's all right?
Heck, Pop, didn't you see my last report card?
Well, no. Your mommy usually tells me if anything's wrong.
Hey, Pop.
Yeah?
Look at that black sedan behind us. Three guys in it.
Well, what about it?
Every time we turn, they turn. They've been right behind us ever since we left the house.
It's a free country. Maybe they're going to the same place we're going. Now, about those grades.
Pop, do you mean to say you don't know about me leading the whole class?
No. Are you?
Sure I am. I studied extra hard for it because the highest grade gets to lead the pledge every morning.
The pledge? What pledge is that?
It's the pledge. What other pledge is this?
Okay. You tell me about it.
Well, to start the day off, everybody stands up and faces the flag. You know, up there by the blackboard.
Yeah, and?
Well, I put my left hand straight at my side, and I put my right hand on my heart. And then I recited the prayer. And all the other kids and the teachers recited after me, see?
Sure. Go ahead, show me how you do it.
Okay. Of course, we'll have to pretend that I'm standing up by the flag, and you're one of the kids in the class.
Okay, we'll pretend.
Okay. Now, you're supposed to be standing very straight in the class. And you'll look me right in the eye like old Nathan Hale looked the redcoats in the eye. Ready?
Yep. Shoot.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands.
And to the republic for which it stands.
One nation indivisible.
One nation indivisible.
With liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all.
You did it pretty good for a beginner. Hey, here's the school.
Okay, kid. Go and lead that pledge and put some snap into it. Oh, and look.
Yes, sir?
I guess I ought not to do this, but I hate to think of you having lunch without your bottle of milk, so here's a nickel.
Thanks, Pop, but I can't take it.
You can't take it? Why not?
Well, to tell you the truth, Mommy slipped me a nickel for milk before we left.
Well, you know something?
What?
I'll bet you those redcoats never were so nice to old Nathan Hale. So long, kid. Well, maybe the kid was right. Looks like the same black sedan. Three guys in it, about a block behind. Yeah, I'll just make a sharp left up here and see what happens. There they come. Oh, sure. I would take a deserted street full of potholes. Oh, that was a good one. Hey, you. Hey, you're trying to push me in a ditch? Hey, you fool, watch out. Watch out! Why, you fool, you forced me into this ditch, and you're going to pay for this car.
Hey, you're going to shut up.
Yes,
Listen, Tricky, you didn't have to slug him so hard.
He's all right. Just knocked out.
And the boss won't like it if he ain't all right. He's no good to us unless he can talk.
All right, you men, hurry up.
Come on. Let's put him in the car. Take him to the house. Grab him there.
Mary.
Kid, where are you?
See, Meade? See? Mm. He started to talk already.
All right, Meade, is he blindfolded?
Sure, boss. Got my handkerchief tied over his eyes.
You ready now, boss?
Yes. Snap him out of it.
Good. First, the ice water in the face. Salt. No, not quite. So now the slap.
Stop it! Stop it, I tell you! Stop it!
All right, that's enough. You're tied in that chair, Joe. You didn't try to get up.
What is all this?
We've had to play a little rough with you, Joe, but that's all over now. You'll play along.
I can't understand you. Can't you talk a little plainer?
That's because of the mask on my face. You understand that?
I understand. Now, what's this all about?
We want the plans for that bomb site, Joe.
I thought so. The answer is no.
Now, wait, Joe. I didn't finish.
As far as I'm concerned, you did.
You see, we happen to have a lot of money here. More money than you ever heard of. You can have it, Joe, if you play along.
And if I don't,
there won't be any ifs, Joe.
We've got drawing paper and instruments here, Joe. You want to copy down that blueprint for us? Joe, do you hear me?
Joe, you hear the boss?
Sure, I hear him. I think I've heard his voice before, and I'm just trying to remember where. If I could only see him. If I could get this thing off my eyes and get a look at it.
Joe, you hear the boss. Joe.
Yeah, sure, I hear him.
Well.
If I say no, you'll start getting rough with me, huh?
That's right, Joe. I'll hit you with a leather pouch filled with sand. No bruises, no blood, just a lot of pain. Of course, when your ears begin to bleed and your nose, then the pain drives you mad. Then you...
Get the details and get cracking. I'm saying no.
Yes, boss?
Yes. I am what some people call a fabulous Joe. I was afraid you might talk before I could get in a workout. So thanks.
Joe!
Don't let him hear you groan, Joe. Think of something else, not the pain. Something else. Think of the time you first met Mary. Remember? Remember? Sure. She was a blind date, but we heroes could Lake Nelma. Remember how you and Mary sat on the dock, barefooted, splashed your feet in the water? Remember?
It must be wonderful, Joe, to have your life all mapped out like you have yours.
I thought about it a long time, you know. I mean, living out there in Wisconsin, I sort of had the urge to travel and all.
Now, you're going to do it.
Sure. I get a trip Monday. China, the Far East, then to the South, around India, and through the Suez.
Excitement, strange places, new people. We'll have a wonderful time.
Sure, new people. Only...
Yes?
Well, it's funny you mentioning new people like that. Did you read my mind?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
I was just thinking, sure, I'll meet a lot of new people. But I won't meet anybody I like better than you. I mean...
Oh, Joe, you don't even know me. We just met.
And don't laugh at me. But I think I met you a long time ago. I was about... Oh, when I first put on long pants.
But I've never been to Wisconsin.
I know. But I met you. I mean, I can't explain it, but I knew just how you'd look when I did meet you. And then, well, today, here you are. You think I'm silly, don't you?
Oh, no, Joe.
You really don't? Tell me, what do you think of me?
Well, now that I've met you, I think you're exactly like I always dreamed you'd be.
Know something, Mary?
What, Joe?
Travel's fine and all, but there's a friend of mine that I'm rooming with. And he says he might be able to get me in over there at Atlas Aircraft. Would you like that?
Oh, yes, Joe. I'd like it very much.
No.
Stop any time you say, bro.
Don't stop it, a favor to me. I like it.
How much of this can I stand? How much?
Check that blindfold. You knocked it up over one eye.
One of the men wears a snake ring on his right hand. There's a spot of red paint on his shoe.
Yeah. Give me a chance to light a cigarette.
Blindfold's okay. Let him have it again.
How much more can I stand? No, Joe. You mustn't even ask yourself that question. Think of something else. Anything. You can't stand the pain. You're too scared to think, huh? Well, yeah? Well, think of all the pain Mary took that time. And you think you're scared now. Think of how scared you were when you thought Mary was going to die. Remember? Remember, Joe? Sure you do. It was the worst Christmas Eve you ever spent. Remember the musicians playing on the hospital grounds while you went nuts? Remember?
Look, nurse.
Yes, Mrs.
What time is it now?
A minute later than when you asked before. 11:58. It's almost midnight.
Can't you find out something for me? Please, please.
I can't call delivery again. Dr. Rockwell told me not to.
Oh, Dr. Rockwell told you not to, huh? Well, now, you listen to me. She's been in there 6 hours. She's my wife, and I demand to know what's going on. Sure, Dr. Rockwell doesn't care. It's nothing to him. Mary can die for all he cares.
Now. Dr. Rockwell's a very fine doctor.
Oh, he is. When he took her in there, he said there'd be nothing to it. I heard him say it. You heard him say it. 6 hours. What kind of a doctor is he if he doesn't know any more than that? 6 hours.
But he told you they were unexpected complications.
Well, why didn't he expect them? He took x-rays, didn't he? Sure he did. Nothing to it, he said. Now, you listen to me. Mary's all I've got in the world. If he lets anything happen to Mary, I'll... Well, answer it. Answer it quick.
Obstetrics, Nurse Petrie.
Who is it? Is it Dr. Rockwell? Is it delivery room, is it?
Yes, Dr. Rockwell.
Well, what does he say? How is he?
Yes, I'm glad you did. He's about to tear the place down out here. Yes, I'll tell him.
Well, quick. it good or bad?
Neither. It's wonderful. Your wife pulled through. She's all right.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Where's Dr. Rockwell? I gotta thank him, too.
And a moment ago, you wanted to murder him.
I must have been out of my mind. Where is he?
Well, he'll be busy for a little while yet. You see, just on the stroke of midnight, you became the father of a 7-pound boy. Merry Christmas, Mr. Smith.
What about it?
Joe!
You're ready to change your mind?
The blood started to bubble out of your ears, Joe. A little more now and you go nuts. Well, Joe...
I've got drawing instruments and paper here, Joe. Want to copy down the blueprint of that bomb site?
You can't take any more, Joe. You know you can't. Oh, Joe, why don't you fool him? Draw him. Draw him a phony blueprint.
Oh, there's just one thing, Joe. One of the three of us is an expert engineer. If you try to pull a phony, we'll know.
There aren't. Should have known you'd get away with it.
All right, Joe. You come across or do you die? Well?
Give me a minute to think, man. Please, just a minute.
Sure, Joe, sure. And while you're thinking, here's something to help you think.
Oh. Nobody would expect you to take any more of this, Joe. This isn't human. Go on, give him the blueprint. Then you can help the police catch him. Sure, Joel, that's it. Maybe the police will be lucky to catch him. Sure, that's it.
Gee, Bob, I guess you're pretty brave, too. Maybe not quite as brave as old Nathan Hale, but... Now, you look me right in the eye, just like old Nathan Hale looked the redcoats in the eye. Ready?
Yep. Shoot.
But I won't do it. I won't do it.
Well, let's take him over to the other place and get rid of him.
You think it's safe, Mark?
Sure, it's dark outside now. Let's get going and get this over with.
Come on, you.
Keep the blindfold on him. Make the move or a peek until we get to the place. Let him have it.
All right, Joe. This way and no tricks.
Just check it, Joe. As long as you're alive, you got a chance. If you get away somehow, you got to be able to come back here. Find these men. You got to get them. Now listen carefully. Remember everything.
All clear out there, boss?
Sure. I told you it's dark out here.
You're going down some steps, Joe, so careful.
Count the steps, Joe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right, easy.
Okay, now, just a short walk to the car.
Measure it, Joe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 strides. 15 feet from step to car.
All right, get him in there. All right, that's it. Get him in there. Just let it coast down the hill and start that way. No point in using up the battery for nothing.
Okay, boss.
A traffic light, boss?
Of course not, fool. There's a cop on the next corner.
A cop, huh? Okay, Joe. It's now or never. Here's a chance.
Want me to plug in, boss?
And bring that cop running? There, he's in the gutter now.
After all the punishment he's taken, he'll be dead before morning.
In just a moment, we'll find out if Joe Smith, American, did die or if he lived and remembered. Now for Act Three of Joe Smith American, starring Ronald Reagan. No, Joe Smith American did not die. Sometime during the night, he staggered to his feet and wandered for several blocks in a delirium. Then the driver of a big express truck picked Joe up, dropped him off at a hospital, and vanished without telling where Joe had been found. Now it's the next afternoon. Mary and Johnny have just left and...
This way, gentlemen.
Thanks, Dr. Wood.
Mind you, I wouldn't let you see him if you hadn't convinced me it's so important. Now, here you are.
Morning, Gus. How you doing, Dr. Wood?
Some friends to see you, Joe.
Mr. Foster. Mr. Donahue.
Yes, and this is Inspector Dean of the police.
Listen, Doc.
Yes, Joe?
Let me out of here, will you? With these men to help me, I can find the guys that slugged me. I know I can.
Really think you can, Joe?
I know I can. I'm sure of it. Doc, please.
You've had a bad beating, Joe. One of the worst I've ever seen.
Just a minute, please, Doc. Joe, what makes you think you could find a place where those men held you?
I was blindfolded, but I remember the sound. I know I can find it if you get me out of here.
Wait, Joe. Dr. Wood, it's your decision, but this is even more important than we told you. If we wait, those men may get away. Those men are enemies of the United States.
I see.
Doc. You mean I can go?
What about it, Doc?
Doc, can I?
Keep your shirt on, Joe. I mean, put your shirt on. And as soon as I can give you a sedative, you're on your way.
Well, Joe, we've been to three places with Tarsus on the road.
Yeah, each one near a wooden bridge, too, just like this.
I know, Inspector. But I knew those other places weren't right. I could feel it.
Well, this is the last one. How about this one?
This one feels right.
Oh. Better pull over, Inspector.
Yeah, I will.
I know this is right. The car smells exactly the way it did last night.
Yeah, but there's one thing missing, Joe. The carnival.
I heard it. It's got to be here. Inspector, are you sure about those carnival permits?
Absolutely sure, Joe. We haven't issued a permit in over 3 months. Draft closed up a lot of them.
I saw your car stop here, Inspector.
Oh, hello, George.
I'm stationed at the next corner. Is there anything I can do?
Oh, yes.
I haven't seen a carnival around here, have you, officer?
A carnival?
A street carnival, officer, with a calliope and a midway.
Yeah, nothing like that, but around here, not in years.
But there was. I was by here last night, a little later than this, and I heard it. A merry-go-round and barkers.
Oh,
and...
you mean that, eh?
Well, was there a carnival?
Not a real carnival, Inspector. But you see that light in front of the store up the block there?
That's no carnival.
Oh, it's Cohen's radio store. It's got a big loudspeaker out front, and at 9 every night I get him to turn on Morton and his merry-go-round merrymakers.
That's it. That's what I heard.
Look, Mort, when you cross this wooden bridge down the street here, is there a hill on the other side of the bridge?
Oh, sure, Inspector.
Is there a house, say, about halfway up that hill?
Oh, yeah. Yes, there's one house. There, yeah. Look through the windshield there. You can see a light in it.
Come on, Schwartz. We may need you.
Schwartz and the inspector have time to get around back.
Yeah, they're all set now.
Let's go. Okay, quiet now while I count the strides from the curb to the step. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There you are, 15 feet. Now the step. Quiet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is it. I know it is.
Get your gun ready, Gus.
All right.
Ready?
Come on.
I watch it,
man. Hey, just where do you guys think you're going?
Yeah, breaking into a private house this way.
Over here, keep your hands on the table. Don't move.
Keep them coming, Judge.
It's okay, Inspector. We got two of them.
All right, Bort, keep him covered.
What does this mean? My friend and I are playing a peaceful game of cards and rushing
here.
Sort of
men, Joe.
I didn't see their faces, but I know this is the house.
Hey, what is this all about? I'm going to call the police.
We are the police. Any way you can identify him, Joe?
See if one of them's got a spot of red paint in the toe of his left shoe.
You take a look, Inspector.
All right. Let's feed out in the light. Both of you. Yeah, here's one of them.
That's a lie. You can't prove it. I want a lawyer.
Shut up, you.
Now, see if one of them's wearing a snake ring with a ruby in it.
Hands out, both of you.
I know my rights. I refuse.
Now, put your hands out. That's the way. No, Joe, no snake ring.
The other identification, Joe?
Yes, Inspector. See if one of them smoked a foreign made cigarette, turkey.
I don't try to ditch that butt, my friend. Yes, Joe. This identifies the other one. All right, you two. Where's the man with a snake ring?
What man does he mean?
Shut up, me. Now, do the talking. You see, gentlemen, there were only the two of us. I myself wore the snake ring, but unfortunately, last night I lost it. Yes.
You sound like a liar to me, friend Tricker. How about it, Joe?
He's a liar, Inspector. There was another man.
Anything else about this other man you remember?
Just the snake ring. I thought I recognized his voice, but he had a mask on and he mumbled. I couldn't be sure.
Okay, Joe. We'll take over from here.
Sure, Joe, you go on home and take it easy. We'll take a look for that third man.
No luck, huh, Mr. Daniel?
No luck, Joe. Russ and I and half the police force looked all last night and all morning.
Right, Joe. No luck. Can't they make those two guys talk?
Oh, they'll talk, eventually.
But by that time...
What this means is that by the time they talk, the guy with the snake ring will be far, far away.
I wish I could get my hands on him.
Joe, you've got some more visitors, important visitors.
Well, show them in, honey.
But Dr. Wood said you weren't to have too many at once, but this is Mr. McKittrick and Mr. Edgerton.
Heck, I'm all right, Mary. Just bunged up a little.
We'll get out right away, Mrs. Mary.
Sure, honey. Show them in.
All right.
We hoped you might think of some other way of identifying that third fellow, Joe.
That thought. That ring is all I've got.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Joe, thank heavens you're all right.
Thanks, Mr. Edgerton.
Joe, I've just heard about what you've done. Of course, when Mr. Edgerton took you away from my division, I didn't dream you were going on something so dangerous. And when I heard what you'd done, I...
haven't done anything, Mr. McKittrick. All I did was get beat up.
Well, just the same, Joe, I think it's a shame that the paper can't get the story. You're a hero, boy. I want to shake your hand. Here, shake.
I'll shake hands with you, Mr. McKittrick, but I know...
Joe, darling, you look so funny. What is it?
The red ruby and the snake ring. So, McKittrick, you're the boss of that spy gang. Were you wrapped?
Joe, what are you talking about?
I'd like to know, too, Joe. What is
the man we're still looking for. He wore that ring.
This is ridiculous. Preposterous.
Call a plant and check the records, Mr. Edgerton. You'll find the McKittrick didn't work yesterday. Sure he didn't. Because he was busy beating my brains
out.
Why,
this is nonsense. It's insulting. I'm getting out of here.
I'll bet you 6.38 caliber slugs. You can't make it, McKittrick.
Why, 6 and my 6 make 12. Go ahead and try it, McKittrick.
Well, I... this is outrageous.
He's got a gun at him, guys.
Hold still, please. Come on.
Yep. Shoulder holster.
Wouldn't you know it? A Heine Luger.
There you are, Joe. Looks like we caught the snake with the ring.
Ah, come on. You folks make me feel like a dumb fool. Well, I mean, I'm glad you all came to the party. You, Mr. Foster, and Mr. Dunhill.
Oh, correct, Joe. Make that Dutch and Fred.
Fred? I mean, all the neighbors here and you, Mr. Edgerton.
Oh, you couldn't have kept me away, Joe. Not when I heard that Mary was putting on a spread. Remember in the old days when I used to sneak the strawberry shortcake out of your lunchbox?
Just on, everybody. Everybody in the dining room. Just on.
I certainly hope she needs strawberry shortcake, too.
There's not enough room at the table for everybody, so I hope you won't mind if it's
of course they won't mind, as long as you got plenty of everything to eat. You know something, folks? I bought this dining room suit 3 months ago. 4 months now, I guess. And I had to get my head knocked off before she'd let me eat off of it.
Joe. Oh, Joe. Oh.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
Oh, I've never been so embarrassed. I mean, I was so excited with everything and all. I forgot the dessert.
Forget it. We'll send Johnny to the corner for ice cream. Hey, where is Johnny? Johnny? Johnny, a cake.
A wedding cake.
Well, what do you know? With a little bride and groom on it. Johnny, is that cake by any chance?
Mine and your favorite, Pop. Strawberry shortcake. That's what I've been doing with my allowance. Mrs. Wang at the bakery said she never heard of a strawberry shortcake wedding cake, but she made...
Johnny, a wedding cake.
Sure, Pop. I knew you'd forget it. I guess Mom forgot it because of all the hullabaloo. Happy anniversary!
Well, happy anniversary! Kid, after we eat this food, will you do me a favor and take me out behind the woodshed?
Joe, don't you think we should say grace?
Honey, you know I'm no good at that. Mr. Edgerton, would you say grace?
I'm not much good at it either, Joe, but I'll try. We thank you, God, for Joe Smith, American.
I tried to tell him he's a hero, but he wouldn't believe me.
Hero, baloney. Nobody's a hero in this country. All of us guys are the same. We got homes and wives and kids. We got something to have nerve for, and we're willing to stand up for it. I mean, when I look, everybody, we got to fool around here and let this food get cold.
That's what I say, Pop.
Come on, everybody, let's get cracking. Ronald Reagan will return in just a moment. I think you gave a good account of yourself as Joe Smith, American.
Thank you, Howard. I liked the picture in the first place, and I'm glad MGM is pleased in the second place.
Well, being Joe Smith, American, should come natural to you. You've had a pretty typical American career. You were once a lifeguard.
That's typical?
Well, it's the guy on the beach the girls are supposed to fall in love with. So it's a typical American fiction character. By the way, can you swim?
A little. But I can row a boat.
I suppose you use the boat for the men and swam for the ladies.
That is a typical American jet.
Touché, as they say in typical France. But you also were a sports writer on a newspaper, a broadcaster, and a lot of things before Warner Brothers got you.
Well, I'm not complaining about the brothers, even though I'm freelancing and did my last picture for Universal.
No, nor should you. They've given you some pretty good pictures. Most recent being The Voice of the Turtle and The Hasty Heart.
And they also put me in Mrs. the Army.
By Irving Berlin, composer of Annie Gets Your Gun.
I knew you'd twist this into an MGM plug.
Well, it just comes naturally. But more important, Ronald, you were in the real Army as well as the celluloid one.
Nothing special there. A lot of guys were in the Army.
Well, your service was pretty distinguished, and even MGM is proud of a Warner star.
Thank you, Howard.
And thank you, Ronald Reagan. I've been listening to Joe Smith's American, starring Ronald Reagan, adapted for radio by Wellborn Kelly. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Mark B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Cass. The supporting cast included Sarah Fussell, Chuck Webster, Kermit Murdoch, Gertrude Warner, Court Benson, and Carl Eastman. Ed Stokes speaking.